The platoon lovers were patronizing the barn. McCreary had a married woman in town. Reese installed his in a private house. Carson fed an educated, beautiful, sophisticated Polish blonde, whom he later married. The platoon staff visited a DP camp nightly, and in Zell am Zee, home of the most beautiful women in Europe, the lads with the sunburned blondes were fulfilling their dreams. After talking about women for 3 years, they now had all they could want. It was the complete failure of the non-fraternization policy. For those who had wanted and could afford them, there had been women in London, Paris, along the Ruhr. But Webster observed, in Austria, where the women were cleaner, fairer, better built, and more willing than in any other part of Europe, the GIs had their field day. The flow of booze was never-ending. On May 28th, Webster wrote his parents, "Since leaving Berchtesgaden, we've had a bun on every night. 2 days ago, we hijacked a German Wehrmacht warehouse to the tune of a couple of cases of gin, 48 bottles all told. Your package with the orange juice powder, therefore, came in very handy." Captain Spears had only one standing order about the drinking: no drunkenness outside. This was strictly enforced by the sergeants, who wanted no incidents with drunken soldier boys on guard duty or just wandering the streets and mountain paths. In their quarters, however, the men were free to drink all they could hold. Most of them drank more than that. Webster's squad kept a pitcher of iced tea and gin full and handy. Each night, he wrote, by 8 o'clock, Matthews was lisping and stuttering. Marsh was bragging about his squad and how they obeyed him. Schulte was sitting quietly on a bed, grinning. Wynne was laughing and shouting and talking about Bastogne. McCreary was boasting of his courage. "There ain't nobody in this platoon braver than I am, buddy," with immodesty but complete truth. Gilmore was pressing clothes furiously, a peculiar and most welcome manifestation of his high spirits. Hale slobbered and poured himself another drink. Chris, who never got rowdy, sat back in cold silence. Raider had passed out in the armchair, and I, who had passed out gracefully and without a struggle, was sound asleep. The lads would work off their hangovers with an afternoon swim or game of softball. Winters was a non-drinker who neither approved nor disapproved of drinking. His two best friends, Welsh and Nixon, were heavy drinkers. He never berated anyone for getting drunk on his own time. Had he ever been tempted to do so, he got a reminder each afternoon of why these excesses were taking place.